What's up and welcome back to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 9th, 2022. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Great morning to one and to all a good night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Christmas intro always like catches me off guard. I always feel like the wrong one's playing, but it's like, no, this is Games Daily in December. You know, one of the final Games Dailies of this year.
Because I
one week left.
I hear that music, Tim, and I go, it's September. Why are we playing this?
Yeah.
A little early to get started.
Yeah.
But no, the year just
keeps on coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we are on this beautiful Friday. But a lot to talk about, Andy. This is a big day. The Game Awards happened last night.
What a blast, dude.
What a blast.
Holy
of course,
shit.
You can go watch our live reactions on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. They're available right now. It was me, it was Andy, it was Mike, it was Barrett hanging out, live reacting to the entire thing. And we had an absolute
blast.
Did
we get a little drunk last night, Tim?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little tiny bit.
You know, but it was fun. It was fun. Everybody had fun. Did you have fun, Andy?
I had a blast, dude. It's my favorite thing to do at Kind of Funny. A big event with dope reveals and some chilly sit to laugh at.
It's just fantastic. So
chilly
much fun.
Sit, and, chilly sit or silly
chilly,
sit?
Chilly sit. Chilly sit, everybody. Yeah. No, and also having the spare bedroom to be in, actually being with you guys, like with everyone else was watching over in the other room. It's like, this is just fun.
Really
cool. This is why I was doing this.
Like, I know we did like live reactions for other things so far in the spare bedroom, but this was like the first like big one, and you could really feel the energy. I always loved doing those, but and they were fun enough to do work from home, right? But being here together with everybody, that was fucking awesome.
It's kind of the bigger deal too that it's us being in the same room for the first time, and also the Game Awards being in the same room for the first time in years.
Like we planned it, yeah,
exactly. It all, I mean, yeah, who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
Who would've thought it would
a lot
all...
of email exchanges between us and Jeff Keighley.
You gotta love it. But of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together to talk about the video game news that you need to know. Where you could watch it live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we will be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free, though, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Delaney Twining, 1UP Pest Control, Brian Cheney, Alex Gradle, Jason L., the Nanobiologist, Derek Garrick, Donald Eccles, and Jason L. have done. Thank you all so very, very much. And speaking of Patreon, today, over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, we're going to be recording our live in-review for Avatar. Avatar 1.
And it's an intro you don't want to miss.
It is an intro that Cameron Kennedy made that, like, he tweeted. He was like, this is the first time I'm embarrassed to send him this intro.
He should be.
And he's like, I'm going to make a backup one just in case this one doesn't, like, pass the test. And I watched it, and I got to be real with y'all. I'm concerned
about
this.
It's a top three of all time.
He watched it, and he looked for the closest person in the office to also show, which happened to be me.
And I just made eye contact with Barrett. I was like, and then I made him watch.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
It's really good. So I can't wait for you guys to see that. We're going to be recording that later today, and then we're going to be recording Avatar 2 next week when it comes out. So very exciting stuff all around. Today we're brought to you by Amazon Games, Shady Rays, Rocket Money, and Factor, but we'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. I'm just going to say we have an infinite amount of stories today.
A baker's dozen.
We're going to go through the winners. We're going to go through the announcements. There was just a ton of stuff at Jeff Keighley's The Game Awards last night. But Andy, last night we reacted. We didn't have too much time afterwards to really give our thoughts and get into it all. Normally we grade these things on the Kind of Funny scale of 1 to 5, 1 being terrible, 2 being bad, 3 being okay, 4 being good, 5 being amazing. Or, sorry, 4 being great. What would you rank this?
Well, Tim, the fact that I could wake up this morning and download Vampire Survivors on my little Android phone and play a decent amount of the morning.
Show the kids, Andy. Show the kids.
That's 10 out of 10 right there. That's 5 out of 5 right there. And I'll tell you what, Barrett, I got a free revive because I played an ad.
Whoa!
Yeah. I died and it was like, you could just go back to the front, or if you play an ad, you can get a revive. And that's the type of monetization that I love. The ad's still playing. It's for a little game. I don't know what the game is. The little king thing. Something's happening. A little kingdom. No, the show was a 5 out of 5, dude.
Yeah.
Phenomenal all the way around. Of course, it wasn't perfect, but I think it's as close to perfect as you can get with one of these things, especially when there's going to be a lot of games that maybe you aren't necessarily even interested in. going back through Wario 64's thread, I was just constantly being reminded last night and even this morning of like, God, oh, I forgot that game. Yeah. Oh, that game was sick as shit. And it's little things like that you kind of just brush over and you just act like, you know, didn't even happen. You kind of, it's easy to forget, but there was a lot of titles announced that we had never seen before and new shit that we didn't even know existed that wasn't even in the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, exactly. Very good show. 5 out of 5.
I'm right there with you. I think it's a 5 out of 5. I think this is easily the best Game Awards we've ever had. I think this is the best Keighley production we've ever had. So that includes the opening night lives and the Summer Game Fest we've had so far. I've been a big fan of Keighley for a long time and the work that he's done to create this type of platform to be able to award games, celebrate games, and announce games. And I think that last night was the best iteration of all of those things, firing on all cylinders. And like you said, not perfect. Of course, there's some things that like felt a little bit weird. Some things didn't work perfectly. And not all the major announcements we wanted to be there were there. Except most of them kind of were, to a shocking degree.
Right.
I cannot believe how many of our predictions were correct, right? Even some of our more, we're being real hopeful about this, but it's like, nah, they came through. And I think even a lot of the smaller announcements, small meaning things like The Last of Us coming to PC, stuff that we've been waiting to get answers for. We got a ton of release dates for very anticipated games like Final Fantasy 16, Street Fighter 6, Diablo. So it's like a lot of the questions we had were answered. And I feel like that is fantastic. In terms of the awards themselves, I know there's the balance between how much are we actually going to focus on the awards versus the announcements versus the commercials. I think this is easily the best pacing and balance that we've had so far. And I think that, you know, showing that Christopher Judge just going off on his speech and them just letting him do it, like, I feel was a direct response to the criticism that they've had over the last couple of years of not letting people do the speeches and stuff. But then we see the ramifications of that, where that made everything a little longer and everything else had to like kind of be quickened up. So there's just
I didn't even win a Steam Deck, by the way. Didn't win a Steam Deck.
Oh, sorry.
Unfortunately. Sorry. I already have one, but I would have loved the second one. Dual wield it.
with the balancing of everything, the only gripe I had, like thinking about it this morning, was I wish Indie Game of the Year had actually been on stage. That was the one where it's like, come on, like, I know, like, it ended up being Stray again because they won for best debut, but I don't know. When we have like Indie Game of the Year, I feel like that should be a, you know, give someone the opportunity to speak.
Yep. It just, you know, there's when you have 3 hours and you have all the things, some things get cut, some things get moved. Yep. And that's the thing. What one person loves, another person hates. So that's why, to me, I'm like, this is, I think, the best balanced show that we've had in terms of speaking the most to the most of us out there.
In a sports analogy, Tim, it's like if I told you, hey, your favorite team threw 4 interceptions yesterday, and you go, oh, damn, we lost. It's like, no, shockingly, you won somehow. In this one, before the show starts, I go into the future. I said, Tim, I just looked into the future like, that's so Raven Simone. There's no Xbox anything at this show. No reveals, not a single fucking glimpse. We may see Phil Spencer on camera a couple times, but nothing Xbox. You would think, oh, damn, that's going to be kind of a bummer because they have some large titles that are obviously on the horizon of coming out and some that are further down the future. And that probably means that it wasn't that great of a show if we're going to have these gigantic titles completely absent from the show. And the fact that that happened, and it was still, I thought, an amazing show, really is a testament to the amount of games that were shown and the quality of games that were shown.
Yep. And I think on top of that, the amount and the quality and the range of AAA, indie, everything in between. Like, again, this was a celebration of video games, and I can't believe that we got Hades 2. Right?
Oh,
like, there's
God.
Just some things that, like, the Game Awards are the right platform. We talk about Hollow Knight a lot, right? And it's like, I'm surprised Hollow Knight wasn't there. But I love that those type of games, like these indie games that are beloved, right? But they are given a platform to be able to announce a sequel to a game like Hades, and it's the hypest shit ever. You know, like, one of the highlights of the Game Awards is a Hades sequel announcement. That's just really cool to me because I just feel like that's not where the industry was even 5 years ago, you know?
If I had my choice to go back in time, just like I would go back in time with Raven Simone, I go to Jeff Keighley and I said, let's save the Hades reveal for a bit later. In that little kind of downtime when we had about 30 to 45 minutes of some not so great stuff, I'm talking about the Transformers area where you completely didn't know there was a Transformers reveal. We missed that one shooter, third person shooter game that I'm blanking on right now. There was definitely a downtime, and I think the Hades 2 reveal would have been massive in some of those spots.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point.
But those are just tiny little nitpicks.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's it's not perfect, but I do think that this is the best that we've had, and I do think that this is, in terms of a game showcase, it's the best that we've had. This is the new gold standard.
Remnant. Thank you.
The gold standard to me for, okay, cool. This is the expectation, and Jeff was talking yesterday about it's only as good as what they give him.
Right.
And he's putting on the show. He knows how to do that part. What are the different publishers and developers going to partner with him to be able to do? And I think that last night is evidence that we are in a really good place that's only going to get better, and that when different devs and pubs have something to show, they're going to want to go to Jeff if possible. And now that Jeff has three shows a year, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for those announcements to happen. So getting into it, let's start with the awards, the winners themselves of this whole thing. There is a beautiful, beautiful article over on IGN by Logan Plant, who just presented this really easily for us to see. So, Barrett, if you could bring it up, let's start with some of the big ones here. All right. First off, 6 wins from God of War. That's wild.
Massive.
Absolutely wild. But not the big one, because Game of the Year, Andy, what is it?
Elden Ring, baby. They won the war, but lost a lot of battles along the way. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm still shocked by this. I did not expect it to win. I think with recency bias, I thought God of War would have won, with it being so fresh on everybody's minds, and also the fact that it is immediately one of the best games ever made, right? If God of War came out and was a really, really damn good game, but not this sort of critically acclaimed, just like 2018 was, I would have assumed that God of War was going to win. I think that's even what I voted for, just because I just thought this just came out. It's fresh on everybody's minds. And Elden Ring won. Phenomenal. From Software is just at the top of their game, and they're not stopping anytime soon, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, in a year that God of War Ragnarok doesn't win Game of the Year, wow. Congratulations, Elden Ring. That really does say something. And From Software, not only winning Game of the Year, also announcing Armored Core. It's this. We're just at this great point that the Game Awards can allow that type of thing, of two extremely hype moments for From Software, a team of people that have worked so hard and provided the goods for a very long time now. And I love that they're finally getting the accolades, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And on top of that, it's getting the accolades where Sekiro won a couple years ago. Looking at the Game of the Year winners at the Game Awards is so wild that It Takes Two is up there, right?
I think Sekiro still is one of those games that I cannot believe won. I think looking back, that's still going to be the one that I will just there's no shot. Maybe in a different multiverse, a game like Sekiro, which is that tough and that there's not a whole lot of shortcuts you can take to try to beat that game. I still can't believe that Sekiro won. Elden Ring is the coming out party from Software. From Software fans are hardcore, and the fan base has been growing with every new release. And every new release that comes out, there's more and more hype for players to go back and try the old ones. And they go, oh shit, these actually are really, really good. So the audience has been getting trained over time to be okay with From Software games. No matter how difficult they are, no matter how inaccessible they are getting more and more popular. And this was their Breath of the Wild. This was their Skyrim moment, for sure.
Yeah, and that got them a lot more. Best Game Direction, Elden Ring, right? Yeah. Awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. Beating out God of War, Horizon, Immortality, and Stray.
Yeah, to me, I'd still look at Ragnarok as just one of those achievements that it's still doing the single shot thing. It's still playing with the quote-unquote camera in really creative ways. But it's likely that Elden Ring is we're making this open world. There's going to be so many different environments that you don't even know exist. And I think a lot of the sort of shock that came for me with Elden Ring was just how large it was. And how full of substance it felt, right? I didn't feel like I was just constantly oh, that area kind of sucks. I wanted to explore every inch of this world. And I think a lot of that is, it's such a tough thing for From Software to say, hey, we've made pretty large games in the past. What if we make, you know, quintuple the size of what of what a past game could has been in the past?
Yeah. Best narrative went to God of War Ragnarok. And I'm very happy about that personally. That's a story.
That's what we voted for,
amazing characters. It is. Yeah. But it's, again, such a special story and special moments that I'm just so moved by. And I feel like we're going to be talking about the moments in the story, the narrative of God of War Ragnarok for a very, very long time.
I'm not sure exactly how our votes netted out. I know some people in the YouTube comments are asking, like, aren't you all on the panel for this? And what we do is there's a lot of list of games that we all kind of put our names and say, like, oh, I'd vouch for that. I'd vouch for this title. I'd vouch for this title. And then after that, then we sort of, like, you know, bring down the numbers and we kind of come down with a core five. And I think that's what we present to Keeley. And so, yeah, God of War was definitely there. And that was my vote. I think that is such a strong story and only made better by all of the side quests and shit like that. Like, they just did such a phenomenal job storytelling in that game.
Absolutely. Best art direction went to Elden Ring.
Yep.
So, okay, God of War Ragnarok had 6 wins. How many did Elden Ring have? Let's keep counting.
4?
So this is 3 here now.
They had 4. And then the fourth one was best RPG.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, best art direction, which, again, we were pushing hard for Sifu, didn't even get nominated.
Yeah.
But
pretty shocking. And I do wonder if, it doesn't necessarily mean that not enough people played it for the fact that it was nominated for Best Fighting Game. But I am truly shocked that it wasn't in Best Art Direction. I wonder if the Epic exclusivity hurt that at all. I know some people that are just like, no, it's Steam or nothing at all. I'm not going to try any games anywhere else. So I wonder if that hurt its chances at all, but
we had to get Scorn in there, guys. We really had to get Scorn, the game that a lot of people played.
Those wet pustules.
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 Ew.
With Elden Ring winning, though, again, I think the big achievement with From Software is when you turn those games on, they have never been about fidelity. They are never going to be the nicest looking game on the market, but their art direction carries the tech in such a magnificent way. Like, their art direction, you don't even care that the fact that it doesn't look like Cyberpunk or God of War. It's never going to be this 4K just attack on your senses, but the art direction is so strong, and like, they don't need the tech to kind of give you the impression of where you are and how grand all this really is.
Yeah. I mean, how wild is it? How ironic is it that what you just said is about From Software and Nintendo? Two completely different sides of it.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
It's not about the vanilla, it's the art style. Yeah. Best score in music went to Bear McCreary for God of War Ragnarok. Absolutely fantastic. Bless you.
Thank you.
And bless Bear McCreary, because goddamn, he brought the heat. Like, that soundtrack was incredible. A lot of great soundtracks this year. A lot of really, really, really good soundtracks this year. But again, I think the Game Awards are really special that we got to award Bear, and also we got to see them perform, and it was so rad.
I had Alyssa, when I went home, I had Alyssa watch that performance with Hozier, because it's just so good.
It was great.
Bear headbanging while he's playing that
hurdy-gurdy.
The hurdy-gurdy. This is so fucking awesome.
I have so many questions about both of them, seeing photos of them. How tall is Hozier, and how tall is Bear McCreary?
And also, are they related?
Because they looked like double the size of one another. Like, it was wild to see how tall Hozier looked in this photo.
Yeah.
Obviously, perspective may have sort of changed things, but I'm going to assume Bear McCreary is like maybe 5'7", and I'm going to assume that Hozier is like 6'5". Dude looked like a giant, Tim.
Yeah,
you got to see this photo. It's unbelievable.
It's like the Kanye photo with the little Kanye.
Well, one thing that does bum me out about the score in music, like, I think if there's one thing that I can like nitpick, I didn't love the orchestra presentation. I didn't like the idea that it was a medley that kind of changed the DNA of these tracks. Like, it was a tempo that didn't really service the God of War song or the Elden Ring song. They both felt really out of place, and I kind of wish there was, I don't know, a bit less continuity, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Dude's giant, man.
Yeah. Wow.
Dude looked like he played fucking forward at Clemson or some shit like that. Unbelievable.
But I love the idea of the Game Awards Orchestra, and the 2018 show to me is still unrivaled. But I just do think it was the because of it being a medley of the Game of the Year nominees, like I feel like not all those songs work together. So it kind of it was just like, oh, it was okay. But I do love that they announced that they're doing the Hollywood Bowl 10 years of Game Awards.
Oh, that's cool.
Orchestra show. That's
gonna be Flute Guy.
Freaking red. Oh, yeah.
Did you see Daniel Dwyer talking about Flute Guy?
No, I didn't.
So Daniel Dwyer was talking about Flute Guy on Twitter because Flute Guy is this world-renowned legend in the music industry who was on a lot of – who worked with Hans Zimmer on the Dune soundtrack.
Badass.
And is like in a bunch of little documentary kind of videos talking about their process of making these musical arrangements or whatever. And Jeff Keighley confirmed that he'll be back.
He did, which is awesome.
Yeah. My last thing, I feel like they all also picked tracks that sounded so similar to each other as well that didn't like fully showcase how great and diverse each of those scores were for Game of the Year. It was all just too similar.
I also think part of it was the mixing. Me and Tim talked about the mixing afterwards, and it just didn't sound big. It suffers what a lot of live production musical arrangements suffer when it's not like, like you watch a live production on the Super Bowl or whatever, and it never really sounds great.
Yeah, it feels like it's missing life.
When it's meant to be a concert, it's like you have people who are mixing the music or whatever, and it's just, I don't know, it didn't really sound that great to us here at least.
Speaking of mixing, best audio design, God of War Ragnarok recognized the best in-game audio and sound design. I mean, again, God of War is just a technical achievement, right? So not surprising that this kind of swept the show in a lot of ways. Best performance going to Christopher Judge for God of War Ragnarok as Kratos. Absolutely incredible. And then, gave the world's longest speech. And that's how speeches go. Sometimes.
Al Pacino has not recovered.
And Al Pacino was there, which is just
still
wild.
Standing there. Yeah.
Still there. Yeah. Games for Impact went to As Dusk Falls, which, you know, a lot of when it comes to award shows, it is a never-ending battle about defining what the categories are and why they are and all that shit, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is a perfect example of that, right? There's going to be weird things like Sifu being a fighting game and As Dusk Falls being a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message, which, you know, we are big fans of As Dusk Falls here. It's kind of funny, but I feel like even all of us were kind of like, ah, we're happy it's winning something, but I don't know about
it's like
that
a fun, award. It's a fun, dramatic game and experience to play with people, but... Yeah, I cannot tell you what the pro-social meaning or message of that game was.
Don't murder.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Best ongoing game went to Final Fantasy XIV. Best indie game went to Stray, as well as best debut indie game going to Stray. So, Sifu, Neon White, Cult of the Lamb.
Vampire Survivors,
Vampire
man.
Vampire Survivors, not getting anything.
I swore that that was going to win because it was the only award it was nominated for.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of wild. Again, like I promise I don't want to hate on Stray as much as I am, but like Stray, I feel like this year falls in a bucket with a lot of other games of equal quality. But for whatever reason, it got the shine that it did. I think that this year has like a handful of 10 out of 10 masterpieces, and then there's a shitload of like 8.5 out of 10s. And I feel like Stray kind of falls in that area for me at least. So to even see it on the Game of the Year list was pretty shocking. And the fact that it won as much as it did just shows that how diverse the industry really is and how people don't always have the same opinions as you do.
Especially when it comes to indie games that I think can be a lot more than AAA, where it's like there's expectations of what a AAA game is and looks like. And I do think it's interesting that the most AAA looking of these games is the winner here, right? Stray is the thing that is most similar to a PlayStation Studios game, right? So I feel like there is that inherent kind of bias towards that. Best mobile game, Marvel fucking Snap, baby. Let's go.
How did you celebrate last night?
I celebrated by snapping, man. It's a new season. Cosmic, baby. Wild. Really, really, really happy for this one. Marvel Snap has been one of my favorite games in a very long time, and I don't think I'm going to stop playing anytime soon. IGN nominated it for its Game of the Year, which I love. I absolutely love. Because, again, I think Marvel Snap's done a great job of actually learning from mobile games and, like, the problems of their design over the last couple years and provided a super fun time that everybody's into. Like, it's just good job, Marvel Snap.
I'm also happy that IGN is putting it in that category, if only to help diversify. Well, like, again, the fact that Forza won best game of the year last year is still kind of wild from as gigantic of an outlet as IGN is. The fact that a racing game won a game of the year is still kind of wild in the year 2021. Yeah, that's I love that they are doing that, and I hope they keep kind of pushing that forward, that you'll see the gigantic blockbuster games along with a couple of indie titles that maybe didn't blow you away with graphics or narrative or acting or anything like that, but they are still inherently good for, you know, gameplay, just period, you know?
Yeah. I bet we get my gut tells me IGN's not going to give Game of the Year to Elden Ring or God of War. I think it's going to be Immortality or Vampire Survivors.
I could see that. I could see maybe the slow shift to kind of the way Polygon has operated in the past, where Polygon, like, rarely, if ever, gives the Game of the Award or Game of the Year award to the big title that, you know, unanimously wins everywhere else. It's always like a title that you may not have even heard of. I feel like Polygon has operated like that for quite some time.
I think God of War still takes it for them.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Best VR AR game went to Moss Book 2. Innovation in accessibility, God of War Ragnarok. Again, we're talking about the polish. We're talking about just the technical achievements of that game. And Sony has really shown that they care about this and are investing a lot into it and making sure that there are teams that are making sure that it fits the games that they're making and that they are creating a new industry standard. And also, I'm just so impressed by the level of quality of Asdus Falls, God of War, Returnal, Return to Monkey Island, Last of Us Part 1, The Quarry, all of them showing off innovations in accessibility in different ways, but then also kind of like as a united front of like, yo, look, this shit matters, and here's all the different ways that we should expect it in further games going forward, you know? Best action game went to Bayonetta 3, beating out Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Definitely the award that I'm most bummed about the results of. I love Bayonetta. Bayonetta 3, I've been struggling through. Like, it's not really, like, speaking to me the way that the first two games did. And, like, it's not demonstrably worse or anything. I just don't think it's demonstrably better. And it's kind of just feels dated in a way, whereas Sifu was incredible to me. And I'm a little surprised at this one.
I think that's what I'm most shocked about. It's always important to remind yourself that the internet is not real life, and people outside of your sphere have different feelings about different things. But I just swear that, you know, I didn't see this game really blowing off anybody's doors off on Twitter or anywhere kind of in the games industry where people are like, oh, this is the game that's going to be one to keep an eye on. I heard that a lot about a game like Xenoblade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear like the nonstop love for Xenoblade and how it deserves to be there and how it deserves to win. And it got snubbed and this and that. I feel like I didn't hear that at all about Bayonetta 3. And it's still pretty shocked that it won. That's the one that, like, if I had to bet the most money on, if we were doing like some sort of bet, I would have bet that like another game would have won that. Mm-hmm. And I would have lost a lot of money.
Yeah. It's going to be similar with multiplayer game, best multiplayer as well when we talk about that.
Then we got Best Action Adventure, God of War. Best RPG, Elden Ring. Both of those make total sense.
Yeah.
Best Fighting Game went to Multiversus, beating out Sifu, King of Fighters 15, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and DNF Duel.
You think they just didn't have a fifth?
Yeah.
That's why Sifu was there?
I mean, yeah, pretty much, right? Like, again, when we do the nominations, like, every outlet has to have five nominees for a category, or else you don't get any votes for the category. So that would make sense, but I still struggled to think about who in our industry would put Sifu into that category. But like I said, sometimes the categories just, they are what they
are.
Straight
to jail, dude.
Straight to jail. Best Family Game went to Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Hell yeah. I love it. Love
again, another one of those weird categories, though.
Like, always. Yeah.
When I think category, I think of some sort of party game, some sort of thing you can, I guess you can play two players in Kirby. You can play a little Waddle Dee, right?
Yeah, but not fun.
Yeah, still like an odd choice for me.
Yeah,
that would be there. I think I voted for Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, but that feels like another title that didn't really do a whole lot either.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, we're being joined by Nick Scarpino.
Crazy news! Breaking news! Yeah. Tim Gaines, you're gonna lose it. So I want you to keep your pants on. Tighten your belt buckle right now because
it's tight.
I have something incredible to tell you guys.
What?
I finally sat down last night and watched Friends with Benefits.
Yes. That's a hype moment, everybody.
We're going to talk about that on the Avatar in review later today.
It's a hype moment, everybody.
He smells like coffee so much. I just feel like he came in for like a morning hug. And yeah. I was like, God, just get away from me.
I'm very proud of you, Nick. I'm very proud of you. Moving on. Best sim / strategy game.
Useless.
Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Eat him.
Which I still need to fully play through. I've only like played for like an hour or two. Do you give it a shot?
Definitely the genre that I care least about.
Mm.
You all have seen me play strategy and puzzle games and how terrible I am at them. Not to say this is like a puzzle game in any way, shape, or form, but yeah, I just don't really care about... I've never really cared about XCOM, and I didn't care about the last Mario and Rabbids, and this one, still don't care. Mm-hmm. Glad it won, though.
Mm-hmm. Also, Ali Ali World got robbed for best sports / racing game. Just gonna say it.
He said it, everybody.
He said it.
Yep.
You can't take it back now. Best multiplayer game, Splatoon 3.
How?
Beat out Call of Duty, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, and Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
All I hear is people talking shit about Splatoon 3, dude.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
In the industry, at least, you know?
I'm a little surprised by this. I don't know which one. I'm like, oh, this one should have won. But my money wouldn't have been on Splatoon unless it was. Did I vote for that?
Yeah, what were our predictions?
Our predictions there. Andy said Splatoon 3.
I popped
up. Les said Overwatch 2. Greg said Overwatch 2, and I said multiverse.
Man, I can't stop playing Overwatch 2. Let me tell you what.
Yeah?
New hero, new season. God.
New you, Andy.
Still addicted
new
to
you.
It.
Next up, Content Creator of the Year. Ludwig beat out Carl and Nebellion.
Boo.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Ludwig's great, though. Yeah. That's the thing, but it's also just
there's
like,
a lot of really good charitable stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Was in a box for 50 hours, got a tattoo on himself of the Twitch logo, even though it's on YouTube now. Congrats.
We had Yay winning Best Esports Athlete. We had Bazooka, which is the best name I've learned last night because it's spelled BZKA.
What breaks my heart so much about Yay is like he's on Cloud 9 now only because Optic didn't get a team for whatever reason. But he was on he's there because he was on Team Optic. And not even seeing them there, it's like, I don't even have a Valorant team to root for anymore, Tim. It breaks my heart, dude.
I'm so sorry.
Who do I vote? Who do I root for, chat? God damn it.
Somebody let him know in the comments below who should Andy root for. Best esports event was World, League of Legends World, San Francisco, California. You were there. Right?
Was it that one, though?
Oh, was it?
I thought they just meant, like, overall.
The 2022 League of Legends World Championship.
Oh, I guess so. I guess that was it, yeah. Yeah, DRX, Team DRX beat
D1. Best esports game, Valorant.
That was my vote.
Your game.
I feel like it was just due.
Mm-hmm.
It's been several years where you've seen the popularity rising. You've seen these gigantic tournaments have massive viewership. Again, they do a great job with having some of the larger streamers co-stream it and get tons of viewers there. So the main feed might have 160,000 people watching, and then Shroud will be co-watching it. And he'll have 90,000 viewers watching it. And, like, they do a really good job with cross-marketing like that. But, yeah, Valorant, I feel like I've been saying Valorant every year, and I was bound to be right eventually. Because eventually, League of Legends won't win.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm glad it did. Valorant's a phenomenal esport to not only play but watch. I love it.
Most anticipated game, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. And best adaptation, Arcane. Which, you know, absolute trash pick, everybody. You know what I mean? How the fuck did we let this happen? It should have been Sonic the goddamn Hedgehog 2. All right?
What if I tell you I still haven't watched it yet?
Sonic 2?
Yeah, I still haven't watched it.
Same.
You should watch
it. I thought you were going to tell me, like, you don't need to watch it.
Andy, I have been thinking about Alyssa and I watching it in the living room sometime soon. So if you want to join us.
I'm real busy that day. Got a lot of stuff going on there.
Just to be clear, guys, I am joking. Arcane is dope as hell. But real talk, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is a lot of fun. It's a great movie. Like, it's not as good as I say it is. And, you know, all
better than
that.
Part 1?
Oh, I mean, it is embarrassingly better than Part 1.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part 1, I wouldn't even recommend people watch necessarily.
Holy shit.
Part 2
really?
Is fucking great. Yeah.
Wow.
Part 3, though. I'm hopeful. What else we got here? That's it. That's all the awards. We went through them. Congratulations, everybody. And speaking of all those people, you can go to Amazon.com/GameAwards, where you can pick up all of those winners and all of the nominees as well. If you're excited to dive into this year's masterpieces, well, then guess what? That's where you want to go, right there. Amazon.com/GameAwards. Also, if you're excited for the future, you can pre-order Resident Evil 4, Dead Space, Forspoken, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and so much more. If you're looking to find the perfect family-friendly video game gift, you can check out Sonic Frontiers, or, as I would suggest, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. What a video game. What a fantastic
video game.
And Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Amazon has you covered for all of your video game holiday needs. You can go to Amazon.com/GameAwards to learn more. And again, thank you so much to Amazon for partnering with us for our Game Awards coverage this year. Again, Amazon.com/GameAwards. And now that that's done, here's a word from our other sponsors. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool without breaking the bank this holiday season. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 shades for a fraction of the price and a fraction of that price during their holiday sales. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. The lost and broken coverage transfers to anyone you gift them to. They'll get great polarized shades and protection no matter what happens to them in the future. They stand by their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54 at ShadyRays.com. Using the code KINDAFUNNY, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. We all gotta eat, and sometimes having to prep that food is the one thing really getting in the way of your day. With the bustling holiday season well underway, ready-to-eat meal delivery can lend a helping hand. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers to your door so you can enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals during the holidays minus the hassle. Plus, with 34 meals per week, including Gourmet Plus, Keto, Calorie Smart, Vegan Plus, Veggie, and 36-plus weekly add-ons, you'll have plenty of nutritious, flavorful options to choose from. Factor's cheaper than dining out and takeout. Plus, the money you save towards holiday fun and you time. And thanks to Factor's commitment to ingredients with integrity, you can enjoy flavorful chef-crafted meals, guilt-free like their creamy Parmesan chicken and three-bean vegan chili. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been here in the new studio, and you can too. Head to go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 and use code KINDAFUNNY60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code KINDAFUNNY60 at go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 to get 60% off your first box. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual total is closer to $200+. That's right. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each and every month on subscriptions you don't even know about. There's this app we love using that takes care of that for us, and it is called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all of your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. You can get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. And now that we're back, we're going to go through the announcements. Because, Andy.
They are plentiful.
They are plentiful, they are, man. And they spoke to us loudly, right? So many games that were for me, that were for Andy, that were for Bear, that were for everyone involved. Maybe not Mike. You know what I mean? Xbox, where the hell you at? No, even Mike, man. Like, there was, like, so much. So let's start off going through. Again, I'm looking at IGN's article here. This one's from Adam Bankhurst, who had a great recap of everything here. But Final Fantasy 16 showed its newest trailer. We're getting a June 22nd, 2023 release date. Could not be more excited for this game. This trailer, not the best one they've had. Nothing bad about it, but I just feel like they've had such bangers recently that this one, to me, I was just kind of like, oh, that was fine.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think the last trailer they showed off, what they did with world building and visuals really blew me away. And this one just kind of felt like a bit more of the same. I'm glad we saw a lot of action shots because these particle effects look absolutely wild.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this game. I'm very hopeful for it, especially with the Final Fantasy 14 team being behind it. I'm excited to see what that could look like. And it's been a long time since we've gotten a new Final Fantasy game, like with a new story. So,
and obviously, it's a lot of the story team from Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah,
makes a lot of people excited. I know nothing about Final Fantasy 14. I feel like anytime you mention it, you just got to really be careful about what you're saying, or else you'll get attacked. You know, people will come after you.
Yeah.
Where do you think that Final Fantasy 16, at the end of the day, go in the future, Raven mm-hmm. Simone? At the end of it all, where do you think you will land with this game? Where do you think it'll land in your, like, Final Fantasy?
Me personally, or
you personally?
Me, I mean, I think that the answer is actually the same between me and the overall, which I think this one, it has the potential to be number one.
Holy shit.
I mean, I think, that, again, if everything that people have talked about for the last couple of years about Final Fantasy 14 is true, applying that to this beautiful next-gen game, like, yeah dude, there's a lot of potential. I don't know. That's not the expectation for me, but I do think the expectation that it's a top five, you know, and like just for everyone out there knowing, like my favorite is 10. I'd say the best is 6. 7 holds a really special place in my heart. Like those three are definitely my top, but I think 16 has a really good shot of breaking in there.
I'm about to break your heart right now, Tim.
Uh-oh.
I'm so close to giving up on Crisis Core Remake.
You can't.
Rebirth. Dude, it's just like, oh, man.
You can't.
It's just like, it's...
How far are you?
I haven't progressed much since the last time we spoke about it. For people out there, like our good friend Cameron Kennedy, I saw him talking to Roger Picorni about it, mm-hmm. who he was like, my only real touchstone to the franchise is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty much the same. I played 15. I played 10 back in the day, and that was really it, because I just wasn't really a huge fan of turn-based games. I love that I just feel like the hype moments aren't enough for me to get through this terrible writing and dialogue and these very like monotonous fighting sequences. It's just like, it's real rough for me right now, Tim. It is gorgeous. I'm shocked at how good looking the game is, but man, I am struggling to get through it. Anytime I want to boot it up, I just will place anything else, because like I'd much rather be playing Warhammer Darktide or Overwatch 2 or Warzone with the Jabroni boys, you know? It's rough for me right now.
I get it. Next week's Gamescast, we're going to be doing a review and spoiler cast for Crisis Core. So excited for that. Excited to talk to you. Excited for you to get to the end. And if you decide to give up, Andy, I'll give you a list of YouTube videos to just watch. And
okay.
Then everything could be okay.
Okay.
You all should do it, though. But it's all right. It's all right. Next up. From Software reveals Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon 2023, what they're saying here. Now, Andy.
That's wild.
If there's one thing I know about you, is you love mechs. And if there's another thing I know about you, it's that you love Miyazaki.
Yeah.
I know that these mechs aren't necessarily the type of mechs that you like.
No, man. I mean, they kind of are. Because, again, back in the day, I mentioned on the watch along the watch party we did last night, I was such a Gundam fan as a kid. I watched like Gundam Wing, and I was like, dude, I didn't even know like there were cartoons about these types of robots. This is awesome as shit. And my local freeze frame video and all hit video stores
mm-hmm.
didn't have a whole bevy of games to rent, which is why like anytime you'd go to, I'm thinking like Sam Goody back in the day, you would see like anime for Gundam. Like, whoa, dude, they sell this shit here. I thought you could only get it like overseas and shit. I never had Gundam games to rent. So I rented Mech Assault, and I rented Armored Core on PS1 and PS2 back in the day, because it was all I had, and I don't remember shit about it. I have a lot of questions about Armored Core as a franchise. I don't love that.
Barrett, can you bring up old footage gameplay of an old Armored Core?
Yeah, the Armored Core is like all about customizing your mech, which is super sick, and movement. You're always like strafing left and right and avoiding shots, and it's a third person action game. I think you'll kind of be wowed by it in the way that you were wowed when you saw Warhawk, and you're like, oh, shit, that's how that game looks. That was pretty sick. Armored Core was a lot of fun back in the day. I know nothing about the story. I have no idea about what's going on, which is why I'm kind of surprised they stuck with the number 6 on it. This is the PS1.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I am very shocked that they are giving it a number 6 and not giving it some sort of soft reboot. Yeah, this, again, what does it remind me of? Looking at this Armored Core footage? Virtua On.
Okay, yeah.
Which was that mech arcade game that was at my local Fantasyland ice skating rink. Or not ice skating, but just roller skating rink. I played that shit all the time. I just had an obsession with mechs. But yeah, I'm very shocked that they're sticking with the number 6 on it.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they're not doing a soft reboot. I have so many questions because...
FromSoft.
Aha, FromSoft reboot. I have a lot of questions about this game because this is the first non-Souls-like
title. It doesn't add up to me. I'm excited.
It's very, very... It's very odd, yeah. It to me, it kind of feels like... What would Neil Druckmann and Naughty Dog do now with Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How do you... Are you going to have the new style and new sensibilities of game design and world building? And are you going with the vague storytelling where you have to, like, really dig deep into lore and talk to side characters? Or is it just going to be kind of a straight-up action third-person game with a little bit... Maybe a little bit more narrative-driven? I have so many questions because we love FromSoft for... the way that they design their games and the way that they help the players sort of discover the story on their own, right? You never really feel like you're getting your hand held, which is one thing I love about it. I love that I'm not being told something. I'm kind of experiencing it through my own actions. And I don't know how you apply that to a mech game like this.
Yeah,
it's very, very interesting, man.
I wonder if, like, do we see it in 2023?
I mean, I want to say no because I think we're going to get Elden Ring DLC sometime in 2023, and I feel like this might get pushed.
Have From Software games been pushed before?
Yeah, Elden Ring got pushed.
Oh.
Yeah, Elden Ring was, I think, November, and then it was, like, January, and then it was, like, February or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting to think about. I wonder what their team is looking like right now, numbers-wise, how many people are working on what.
Yeah.
Because we know that Armored Core has kind of been, it's been whispered around in the industry for quite some time. So you got to assume that it's close to being done. And we've heard Miyazaki mention that it is sort of in its final stages of production. Mm-hmm. Man, just so many questions about it. Because, you know, you hear if Elden Ring 2 comes out or Dark Souls 4 or Bloodborne 2, you know what that's going to be like. How do you apply those game design sensibilities to a third person action mech game?
Yeah. It's
really exciting and interesting. And if, we've seen, you know, we know what customization looks like in Souls games. That makes me really excited for customization in a mech game.
Speaking of being excited, Andy, Hades 2 was announced.
Oh my God.
With a gameplay trailer. Wow. Wow. 2023 early access is what they're saying here. Supergiant is back with a sequel to one of the dopest games of all time. I'm very happy about this. You know, we talked about it. This was one of my predictions that we were going to see Supergiant's next game. And we went back and forth on what is it going to be? Is it going to be a sequel or is it going to be a new IP? And we all leaned towards it's probably going to be a new IP just knowing Supergiant. But man, how cool would it be if it was Hades 2? And we're in that reality. Wow.
Yeah, I am so happy I was wrong on that. A best friend clipped me out on Twitter last night from the Gamescast that we just recorded this week, past week, where I mentioned... Whatever they're working on next, I'm just sad it's probably not going to be Hades 2 because you want more Hades. What an experience that was. And last night, I legitimately think this is still my favorite reveal of last night.
It's just
immediately became one of my favorite games, and I am so stoked to just get more of that. We're getting new characters, new everything. It's just a brand new sequel. For a while, I'm like, oh, maybe DLC? You know, who knows? No, they're just straight up doing it big this time, and... God damn, you couldn't have kind of scripted it better for us, I think, last night. This is like
straight up
the perfect reveal.
Yep. And then it was followed up with Ken Levine's next game, Judas, which, like, what a cool name. Even like that is such a dope Bioshock in space vibes with the name Judas from Ken Levine. I'm like, all right, this looks fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, and it's been a long time coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I'm most... interested in finding out about, hopefully we get like a lot of interviews, maybe we'll get to talk to him. For a while there, it didn't seem like he was gonna do another Bioshock style game. And when I say Bioshock style game, I just mean first person shooter with abilities and stuff like that. Hearing interviews of him talking about what Ghost Story was working on 7 years ago or whatever, it seemed very ambitious with what he was going for. It was like, what if everything around you reacted to you? And it's always like the pie in the sky sort of shit that developers talk about.
Yeah.
What if every choice you made had consequences? And you just kind of roll your eyes at it because you've heard that a million times, and it eventually just ends up being, you know, three outcomes or four outcomes because game development is hard. I was not expecting this style of game from Ghost Story Games. I'm glad we're getting it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're getting another BioShock first-person shooter style game from the inventor and creator of BioShock 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, very excited. And Infinite. Oh, I guess he didn't work on 2, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, he did 1 and Infinite.
1 and Infinite.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very exciting stuff. Hopefully we see more soon. I hope that this isn't one of those unicorn games that, like, this is the first time we see it and we either don't see it for years or we see it at every single thing for years. And it's just like, let's just, yeah, you know, pace it correctly.
You got to assume this has been cooking for quite some time, though. And they just wanted to, they needed to find the right time to finally talk about it. Because it's been, goddamn, again, like, I looked through old tweets where I'm tweeting at Ken Levine in 2016, 2017, be like, what's up? What you working on, bro?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Infinite was fucking awesome. Where's that next thing at? So I'm fine. I still can't believe it. Like, dude, that we actually got a look at it.
What I can't believe is scrolling through this list where, how did I just talk about Hades 2, going Final Fantasy 16 release date, going into Ken Levine's new game, and then next up, Death Stranding 2 officially announced. DS2, Kojima, he's on stage. He did the whole thing. Wow. We expected it, but it was there.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
I saw a couple of tweets mentioning, Tim, that there's got to be a reason. I wish I could source the tweet. I'm sorry for, but hopefully people can correct me in the comments who was mentioning it, but it seems like there's a deliberate choice to call it DS2.
Yeah. It's Kojima, you know?
It's Kojima. It's got to mean something within the game, like, or else
bro, this motherfucker, Kojima. Kojima does. He came out and was just like, there's a lot of hidden shit in that trailer. Get to fucking work, you stupid fuckers.
He did that in the first couple of Death Stranding trailers as well, I remember. I'm interested as to exactly what is happening in this world, what the game is going to be. The fact that, you know, it looks like Lea Seydoux's character is healed now. She doesn't get affected by the rain, which is one of her big issues back in issues.
Yeah.
It was one of her big problems back in Death Stranding 1. Yeah, who knows what the hell is happening? This little unicycle looks pretty sick. But Troy Baker's now got a little guitar. I hope that doesn't get overly cheesy and too dumb.
I hope it does.
That has a real easy chance of getting, like, lame quick. We'll see how this goes. I'm shocked that it does exist and we got, like, a glimpse at it. I'm still kind of surprised that they are making a sequel to a pretty divisive game, I'd say. Like,
yeah.
A successful game.
Totally.
But pretty divisive for people who, like me, were wanting more Metal Gear Solid. I still loved the game at the end of the day, but I would have loved a stealth action third-person game.
Yeah, but it's very cool they're doing this, and it does look like it is next-gen only, which is exciting.
Awesome.
I like to see that Kojima, specifically him and his team, push that type of stuff, the boundaries of that. Moving on, Idris Elba joins Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. Did you remember that, Andy?
Another massive reveal, dude. Like, what the hell? This is a DLC that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I loved Cyberpunk 2077. I played it at launch. I played it in the best conditions possible, which is probably why I liked it so much, because I played it on PC with ray tracing, and it was a delight. Character interactions in that game, like, it's incomparable to so many other video games when you have the person looking at you, and it just feels so real. Like, you feel so immersed in this world, and I would have never seen this coming. I'm so glad this didn't get leaked. I'm glad there weren't any whispers about Idris Elba being in a video game, much less the next Cyberpunk sort of expansion. I hope it's, you know, meaty. I hope it's got, you know, at least 10-plus hours of content. I'm very excited to get back into this world, especially with the numerous updates. Roger and I were talking about it the other day, how this is a game that I still haven't deleted from my hard drive, because I just hop in every once in a while just to kind of see what's changed.
You see it, yeah.
And what settings have made things more efficient. Yeah, the game fucking rules, dude.
Yep. Speaking of games that fucking rule, Jedi Survivor. Oh. Oh my God, that trailer was great.
I think the fact that it was presented in 21:9, like it looked like it, it had like the black bars on the bottom and the top. I was like, man, I want to play this in an ultra wide.
Yeah, dude.
This looks so fucking good.
It looks so good. I love, there's something about the vibe and tone of the Star Wars Jedi games that feels simultaneously so authentically Star Wars, but very unique compared to the animated shows or even the live action things we get. Like, it is its own world, and
it feels
I love
more
that
like
world.
The legacy era of Star Wars stuff.
Exactly.
You know? But it's it just happens to be canon, you know?
Totally, man. And so much of this shit looks rad. Him pulling out the two sabers, like the little the hilt situation we got going
he's
on.
He's riding on animals, too.
He's gliding some shit. Like, dude, this looks fucking awesome. So damn awesome. And March 17th is when we're going to be able to get to play this. Fuck yeah.
Very, very exciting. Again, I'm just like, again, the way this looks in 21:9 looks so incredible. Yeah. And I feel like that that's going to be the only way I'm going to want to play. Hopefully, you know, at launch, it runs better than the first one did, because that gave us some issues when we reviewed it.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit of stuttering when we first reviewed it, but
It's looking good here, because I remember even like in trailers when they revealed the gameplay for the first one, even then it looks kind of like off.
Yeah.
You know? And this one, at least in trailer form, looks a little bit more solid here. Shout out to the homie Brian Kesh, who is working on this game.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I forget what exactly he's working on. I know when he worked on Injustice 2, he was doing like environment stuff, but I don't know if that's exactly what he's doing here.
Yeah, he's a programmer. He's a smart boy.
He's very smart.
This is going to be fucking awesome. I hope we get more customization with suits, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
No more ponchos.
Oh, yeah.
And I really hope that this is sort of their God of War Ragnarok moment, where they heard all of the complaints and were like, hey, we hear you. We know we have a really damn good game on our hands, and there's several little things that we can fix and tweak for the next one. Better customization. I want my Cal Kestis to look sick as shit.
Yep.
I'm also excited to see what sort of cameos we might get. Like,
a lot of potential here.
You know, I don't want to spoil the end of the first one, but I'd be stoked to see what sort of actual universe characters that we've seen on screen pop up here. Would, you know, very excited for that.
Very, very excited. Next up, Diablo 4 got a release date, June 6th, 2023. Public beta will take place sometime before then.
I'm very jealous that Mike has been playing that. Very jealous.
And then more release dates. June 2nd, Street Fighter 6 will be coming out. We also got some character reveals of DJ, and then who's returning, and Manon, Marissa, and JP as new characters showing up.
I just got a text from Greg Miller who says, LOL, Mike Wilbon from PTI is in this hotel restaurant. That's awesome. That is awesome.
And then we got a Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League trailer that revealed that there was a tribute to Kevin Conroy, revealed that it is actually going to be Kevin Conroy's final performance as Batman, which is really special, you know, really sad, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the release date being May 26th, Kevin's birthday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to Kevin.
Surprise to him there.
Interesting that
Kevin Coelho or Conroy?
Kevin Coelho, yeah.
Very interesting that that wasn't in the trailer, that was like a Keeley said that out loud for both it being like confirming that it's Kevin Conroy's last performance and the date. Like, that was a very weird choice.
Yeah, it was. I'll never understand why there's inconsistency in that type of information. Like, you'd think you'd want the date in the trailer.
Well, I think it's fine in this case, the fact that he said it afterwards. It's always weird whenever we do these reveals, and then you find out on Twitter an hour later that the
but I mean, for the people watching the trailer now on YouTube or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
that's pretty key information, you know?
I do get it in the moment, though, especially where they end it with, thank you, Kevin.
I'm not
ready for this, man.
I think it totally makes sense to not have the date here. You don't want people to be like, oh, May, whatever, and then like, oh, man, Kevin Conroy. Like, I think that is kind of an odd thing to do. Maybe you start off with like May 26th. Or you don't want to like have those two moments back to back, you know?
Then we got the first clip from the Super Mario Brothers movie. And let me fucking tell you, Andy.
Damn.
I can't wait for this movie. They're nailing it, and they're playing Mario music in a Mario movie?
Odd. That's
what?
Crazy. You're Buck Wilder.
What?
Michael Key didn't have a great time on stage, though. Shout out to him for enduring whatever his writing team gave him to say.
Jesus Christ. That was That was a low point for sure of the show.
It was not not great.
There was
stuff
a lot of weird writing for all of the guest speakers, I'm going to say. Remember when the actress came on? It's like, statistically, someone is a murderer in this room. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. But this trailer or this clip looks utterly fantastic. And like, I've been saying it forever. It's like, if you're going to have an Uncharted movie, just use the Uncharted music. That's part of the experience and what makes Uncharted special. And oh, you're not going to do that? Cool. Great. Well, now it's an utterly forgettable score.
Yeah.
With this, immediately, there was like five different original Mario songs in here. And it's like, yeah, cool. Thank you for being authentic and actually giving us the Mushroom Kingdom as we want and expect it.
Yeah, looks sick as hell.
Tekken 8, we got a trailer for that. We got a look at some of the combat and new iterations of King, Paul, Lars, Martial Law, and Jack 8. Honestly, I was a little let down from this. Like, they hyped up that Tekken 8 was going to be here with a major campaign. Of course, we'll never forget, save the to 8, right?
To 8,
yeah. And with all of that, I kind of expected more than just a trailer, you know? I had a buck wild prediction that we're going to get a demo or something this year that, again, I didn't necessarily expect that, but I did think we'd get something.
I don't think it's
more.
The wildest of calls to have predicted that, especially with a campaign really pushing for this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing to me where I'm like, if you're gonna have this big campaign, maybe have more than just a trailer for a game that's already been announced.
Yeah.
You know, if this was the first time we saw it, I think it'd be a little different.
Yeah, but if we didn't see any of it at Evo, this would have been huge. Mm-hmm. Again, all we saw at Evo was just like a picture of what's his face, Jin, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of odd that we just got a trailer. I would have expected some sort of, you know, hop into the beta in March or February,
something.
Whatever.
Yeah, but game looks fucking awesome. Yeah. Very excited for this. Very excited to see it progress, because I imagine this one's going to be a hit. We got Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores DLC announced exclusively for PS5 coming April 19th. We got a lot of release dates last night. Pretty exciting stuff. This one, we got to see Aloy going to Los Angeles, hanging out on the Hollywood sign. Speaking of friends with benefits, Justin Timberlake hung out there once.
Oh, there mm-hmm. it is. Speaking of friends with benefits, I'm kind of shocked that it's next gen only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not shocked that Cyberpunk is next gen only, because that's kind of like a big reason why everything was so shitty around its launch. So that makes sense. But I feel like, based on what a lot of people have mentioned, that Horizon ran really well on old gen hardware. So I am kind of surprised that if you want to continue playing as Aloy in this campaign and visit these new areas, you have to have a PS5. I'm pretty surprised by that.
Yeah. And then next up, man, guys, like, you know, the monkey paw situation every once in a while happens. And my boy, Crash motherfucking Bandicoot, came down from the rafters and it was incredible. And then they announced Crash Team Rumble, a new 4v4 multiplayer game coming in 2023. It'll task players with leading their squad to victory as they slide, smash, bump, and bash as a team to be the first to bank the most Wampa Fruit in their drop-off zone while simultaneously defending the opponent team's drop zone. So it's a MOBA with Crash Bandicoot and friends. Okay.
Who is this for?
Not me. And like, I, you know, there's something to be said about Crash and friends. Like, there is an appeal to this that you can kind of make other genres of. So hopefully I'm super wrong about this and this will be a great entry point into a genre that I don't really care for.
Maybe it takes a throne. Maybe it takes a throne from Valorant next year for best esport.
Maybe. But yeah, you know, we talked about what I'd want from a Crash announcement, and this is
not it. Decidedly not it.
We got Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 gameplay coming in 2023 to next gen consoles and PC. We got Celeste's creator's next game announcement, or Earthblade gets a first look trailer, looking super rad, 2024, quite a ways out, but like, wow.
I read a bit about it, and Maddie Thorson, she obviously created Celeste, and now this is the new studio called Extremely OK Games, and Earthblade is going to be their first title, and apparently there's no character growth or progression. It is a Metroidvania with Celeste-style platforming, and you cannot put a combination of words together that would get me more excited than that.
Like, yeah.
That sounds perfect. Apparently, it's supposed to be extremely seamless. There's not really a whole lot of world like
blockings.
Yeah, in terms of like, you know, in Hollow Knight, when you go to a new space, you know, it'll like load screen. You kind of like go into a new area or whatever. But apparently this is all meant to be extremely seamless. We'll see how that works. But goddamn, I am so excited for whatever this is going to be.
I mean, come on. This looks rad.
Yeah.
Even just awesome. All the different variations of locales we're seeing in this trailer looks just so rad.
And anytime I was playing Celeste, I was reminded of, I'm blanking on the ninja game.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Oh. The 16-bit to 8-bit one.
Yeah.
Chat, help us out.
Oh, my God.
Ninja game.
Messenger.
Thank you, chat. Thank
God
you.
God damn.
I was reminded of, you know, when I was playing Celeste recently and just thinking of how much fun I have with Messenger, I was like, man, how much more fun would Celeste be if there was, like, combat? Like, if it wasn't just platforming, the game's already incredible as all hell. But if you add like a little slash and maybe like a special bit, like goddamn,
maybe
dude,
a dodge roll.
This
maybe?
Is so exciting, dude! Oh, you got your dash.
Hey,
wait from shit. You know?
Oh, Celeste is so good.
God, Celeste is so fucking good.
I think I need to replay Celeste. It's been a while. It's been a while.
You're just gonna be like, dude, this soundtrack is so goated.
Bayonetta Origins announced.
Weird.
Cereza and the Lost Demon, a totally different type of game, coming out March 17th, 2023. Again, the Game Awards were pretty fucking incredible, man. Announcements with release dates, like, wow. Didn't see this coming at all. I think it's cool that there's a spinoff in that universe. The Bayonetta universe is a lot of fun. So I think that this is a cool use of that, and like totally different genre, totally different style than what you'd expect from Bayonetta. But I'm hopeful. I hope this hits.
Yeah, pretty wild. I definitely not expected to see them expanding that universe in this style. And you got to assume that Nintendo knows that they have an IP here that is really, really popular. And how do we sort of branch out and diversify, not just being a third person super
horny witch game.
Super horny witch action game, yeah.
Hellboy is getting a stylish video game adaptation.
The makers of Evil West.
Web of Word. Oh.
And Evil West fucking rules, and I need to beat that game. You know, I'll probably play that instead of Crisis Core.
You motherfucker.
It's so good, dude. Evil West is like so much fun. It has no business being as good as it is. It's like such a double A game to its core.
Yeah.
It's got cheesy dialogue, but man, it has like all these dope ass abilities. I was very surprised and impressed by it.
This is one of my most hyped announcements from last night. This was wild that this was here, and it's like we finally just got to it of the list of things that we just talked about, and we finally just are bringing up Hellboy.
Yeah,
like, this is awesome
with Lance Reddick,
dude. Yeah, everything about it looks fantastic. The gameplay style looks like pretty unique and cool, right? Like really, action focused, like the close right behind the shoulders camera,
dodges,
like
bro.
Very cool.
How are you gonna parry, Hellboy? How are you gonna parry, brother?
Figure it out, man. It's coming to PS5, 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. It's said to be a roguelite action adventure with an original story.
Oh, get out of town. I'm in.
And next up, a game called Crime Boss Rockay City announced, with a cast including Chuck Norris, Danny Trejo, and Vanilla Ice.
Huh.
Huh. Takes place in 90s
Florida. Questionable casting choices.
It's very, and very Downey, Danny Glover, you know?
Gloves. Yeah.
Yeah. Character named Gloves.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't know.
Very weird reveal. Very weird way to have Michael Madsen come out with. Were they WWE? Like, wrestlers, like I've seen
there was
them
that one guy who had the Irish accent,
yeah,
didn't actually, like, it sounded like he was doing that Irish accent and not actually like he was from Ireland.
Yeah.
Kyle Bond says this game looks like it's gonna be a special type of shit, and I think that is correct.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
Travis Barker, I was really last night I was like, did they really just name a character Travis Barker?
I think it's wild that whenever we see a game like this and then it cuts to the gameplay and it looks like a Call of Duty game. It just feels like there's a disconnect between what they want the game to be and, you know, kind of like, hey, we have all this cast of celebrities that we can choose from because the one agency kind of is offering all these celebrities to us. It's an odd sort of game that expect to be fun in a really shitty way.
And I'm hopeful for that because I feel like it's not so much the agency. This feels targeted. This feels like they're like, I want him and I want her and I want him and we're going to put it together. And
we're going
like,
to make a game that Nick Scarpino is going to love.
There's vision to this that is a little weird, but you're right. Does that vision add up to that gameplay? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, when it cuts to like an AK that like switches to scoped ADS, it's like, what game? What you're telling me about, it doesn't look like what you're showing me here, you know?
We got the Lords of the Fallen, the first gameplay there for this.
Sick as hell. Looks very good.
We got Last of Us Part 1 PC release date set for March 3rd, which is really exciting.
Returnal on PC, baby.
And Returnal announced for PC in early 2023 as well. Love seeing the PlayStation Studio games make their way over to PC. Very cool. Very awesome. Let's see. Baldur's Gate 3 release window announced August 2023. There's a Forspoken demo now available on PSN. I'm excited to play that this weekend. And then, yeah, Transformers Reactivate is an online action game developed by Splash Damage. You can fully immerse yourself in the universe like never before. I went to the bathroom, so I came in like as the trailer was like started already. But even watching it, I can't name a bigger Transformers fan than me. And I did not know it was Transformers until it was said it's Transformers.
So
a little weird.
Splash Damage has also worked on Gears Tactics, Halo Master Chief Collection, Gears 5. It seems like they've always kind of been this support studio.
Yeah.
In the way that we've seen a lot of big developers reach out to smaller studios to help with art or level design or whatever. they also worked on Gears of War 4, Brink.
Oh, shit.
Brink is in their catalog, Batman Arkham Origins. So it seems like maybe they finally were given a shot to, sort of headline your own big game with a big IP. There was nothing funnier last night than walking in here and Tim going, I just missed a Transformers game.
What?
What just happened?
How? It's like, all right, I guess. Yellow robots,
Bumblebee,
man. I guess
dude.
It's Bumblebee. Like, I don't know, man. Like, motherfuckers in the chat call me out and be like, oh, like, how did you not know? It's like, there's this fucking, like, monster beast thing running at them. Like, the fuck is going on here? Look at that. That ain't no Transformers.
Nah, it doesn't
look like that. Looks like anything, generic
sci-fi.
Yeah. I hope it's good. Again, this is another Crash Bandicoot type thing for me where I'm like, oh, shit, it's the IP that I love. Oh, it's the genre that I do not care about at all.
Yeah.
Banishers, Ghost of New Eden. From Don't Nod. This was another like surprising one where Don't Nod, we know them from Life is Strange, seeing a game that does not look like Life is Strange at all.
And that's always great for developers to kind of branch out and do something different.
Do something different, especially after we've seen so much Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Single player magic first person shooter Immortals of Avium revealed. Single player magic shooter takes place in an original world. This title's an EA original.
I think that looked pretty sick, if I recall.
It looked pretty sick.
Or maybe
sick.
Banishers? I forget which game it was.
This was the one worked on by Dead Space, Halo, and Bioshock.
This was the one where we joked about that it looked like Avowed.
Oh, right. That's right. Because the Banishers game looked pretty damn cool last night as well. That was that third-person game that we saw like a millisecond of gameplay that they showed at the very, very end. There's a lot of titles like this that are kind of tough to pick apart and say what's different between a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay once these games finally come out and have like different release dates. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy to be like, hey, Jeff Keighley, that one award show or that one presentation had five space horror shooter games or whatever. But once you sort of get them all separated, then you kind of like, they have their own personalities and their own quirks about them. So, excited to see what the verdict is on a lot of these titles later on. The ones that look kind of generic and hard to decipher which is which.
Yeah.
Excited to see how they actually are.
Gearbox announces Remnant 2 for 2023 on next-gen consoles.
I need to beat Remnant 1. That was me, Nick, and Mike streamed that, and it was a lot of fun, and I want to get back to it and beat it.
Blue Protocol will be released in North America courtesy of Amazon Games. Blue Protocol is an anime-inspired MMORPG that is described as an anime come to life that features five classes, Blade Warden, Twin Striker, Keen Strider, Spellweaver, and Foe Breaker.
That's the one that I said we need to clip out my audio of saying...
Blessing hide the boner.
Blessing hide your boner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see his tweets be like, Blue Protocol looking really good. It was just perfect.
A surreal platformer called After Us was announced at the Game Awards. This was from Piccolo Studio.
Dude, this one looked sick
as
hell.
I was into this, man. Yeah. This is a Tim-ass game. Looked very much like Flower and Journey, like that game company type game.
Yeah.
With a little bit more of like an anime-inspired twist. I'm like, okay.
Really dope visuals. Very imaginative. This is another one of those early titles that is easy to forget about, but at the time we were all watching it, just going like, God damn, this looks like a pretty cool game.
Really cool. Love the visual style of this.
Great art direction.
We get to see the big Portillo.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That came through. Look at that little Sonic-inspired gameplay. Love that. Love a good grind.
Tim, you should play, what's that other game by Heart Machine? The one that came out that was like, I was like, oh, am I going to like this? It's not Hyper Light Drifter.
I did play it.
Oh, you played it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was like a PS5.
Solar Ash.
Yeah, Solar Ash. Okay. I did play that one, yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
Then we got Replaced, got a new trailer.
Shit.
Oh, shit, dude. This game. This fucking game.
Another one of those that I'm worried about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm getting the same vibes that we had.
Check Diomi.
With like, well, Check Diomi as well, but even a game like Cyberpunk, where I'm constantly asking, how is this real? And how is this going to be applied in actual game design? And you know, how am I going to be interacting with this world? Because a lot of the stuff we see looks dope as hell. It looks cool as a short video or an animated short that you would watch. But seeing like these animations look so, they look so detailed.
The camera work is just unrivaled. And it's like, I just can't fathom playing this.
Yeah, I just don't know how it's going to be applied to, like, I can't see myself controlling this dude with how cinematic everything looks in this game, you know?
It reminds me a little bit of Somerville as well, Andy.
Yeah, I can see that. And that was a pain in the ass to control.
Yeah. Mm,
I just watched this all day. Vampire Survivors, now available on mobile. Fun announcement.
Yep.
Dead Cells, Return to Castlevania DLC arriving next year. The DLC will add new enemies, 14 weapons, 2 new biomes, a new storyline, 3 bosses, and 20 outfits, and over 50 original and reimagined Castlevania musical tracks.
Whoa.
Damn.
I didn't know it was that detailed.
Damn, dude. That was a fun surprise announcement. It was one of the first announcement. It was like the pre-show announcement.
Yeah.
But that pre-show was a banger, man. They brought a lot of really, really cool stuff. This was awesome. It looked cool. The animation was super rad. And I just love that we're getting Castlevania anything at this point. I gotta be honest with you. I saw this. I was like, all right, this means Konami's playing nice and that Jeff's playing nice. Maybe we're getting that blue point metal
next year.
And it didn't happen though. We got a release date trailer for a game called Colossal Cave. Wild Hearts. We got some more of that. Modern Warfare 2 stuff was shown. There was a trailer for Fire Emblem Engage that, like, I keep saying there's something about this game that just doesn't, isn't hitting me right.
Right.
And I think I saw someone tweeting about this as well, that it's really weird that their trailer focused on DLC for the game.
Right.
Like, the paid DLC. It's like, what? Like, that's, people aren't excited for this game yet. Like,
Behemoth looked sick, and then I found out it was a VR game and I got kind of bummed out.
Behemoth was
that one big Colossus, Shadow of the Colossus first person sort of game.
Then we got a Dune Awakening in engine trailer. Lightfall for Destiny 2 gameplay trailer there. Among Us Hide and Seek, new mode being added.
Which, like, I gotta get tips of the hat for the predictions there. For the crossover with Glass Onion.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get a tip of the hat.
Yeah.
Because Blessing's prediction on the Games Cast, which he stole from Barrett, was like, I think since, this is what Barrett was saying, since, you know, we got Daniel Craig and Ryan Johnson at the Game Awards, I think we're gonna get, and I interrupted him. I was like, oh, you think we're going to get like an Among Us tie-in? And he was like, oh, no, I was thinking a Hitman tie-in.
Oh.
Yeah. And ended up being an Among Us tie-in. Fuck. Yeah. Tip of the hat for me, dude.
Yeah, tip of the hat.
5 points for me.
Tip the hat. 5 ports to
Half
Andador.
Of the tip of the hat to me, too, you know.
Yeah.
You can have a hat.
Hitman 3 crossover would have been really cool.
I do got to say, though, a little weird that Daniel Craig wasn't there. It's like, did he get I think he got his little, like, Twitter picture, right? I don't like that.
You got to
show up.
You got to present
Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Pacino showed up.
Pacino
should have been asleep like 6 hours before that.
Keegan Michael Key was there.
Halsey was there.
Yeah.
Hozier was there.
Oh, my God. So Jeff Keighley himself was there. Horizon Call of the Mountain also had a gameplay trailer that we saw. And that's the Game Awards, y'all.
Oh, we also got a new Atomic Heart trailer, too.
We did.
Dope as hell.
Really cool. Can't wait for that game.
What a great show. Going through this again, it just makes me even higher on it already than I was. Like, I thought that it was a very, very special night last night. And I can't wait to see what Jeff does in the future. I hope that we can keep up this momentum.
Yeah, especially knowing that there are so many big titles out there that weren't shown.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah. We went real long today, so I'm just going to wrap it up. Out today, we got Choo Choo Charles on PC and Dragon Quest Treasures on Switch. I actually think that right after the stream, Mike and Nick are going to be playing Choo Choo Charles.
I think they might also be playing Forspoken. I think Mike was downloading Forspoken for Nick as well.
Nick Scarpino might be playing Forspoken. So if anybody needs that super critical, that they need to know, is this game good or not, you should check out youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
A guy who started Spider-Man and God of War and was like, not for me.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's check that out.
A guy
out.
Who only wants to be existing in Warzone.
Got to get in the zone, everybody. Next week is our last week of content this year here at Kinda Funny. So you will be getting 5 more games dailies Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. You know where to find us, YouTube and Twitch. It's going to be a great time. We'll have the return of Bless and Greg. I'm sure they're going to have a ton of fun stories about the Game Awards themselves being there. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.